We are talking about the armor of God, truths unto godliness, and God has provided for us to be in the battle against Satan and sin. And we found out that the first several pieces we already have, having the helmet of salvation, having the breastplate of righteousness, so on, and the belt of truth. But here he says, concerning the shield of faith, Ephesians 6, 11 and then 16, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So these are those flaming arrows that you've seen on TV or whatever. And you have then a shield. Very often they made the shield out of wood, but then covered it with a tough leather. And the idea wasn't just really to deflect it, but to stop it and keep it from going into you. You remember, and you see, it's a big shield. It's not the little round one that you see sometimes. This is the full-length one. And the Bible reveals that there are three main enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what we saw earlier in our series is that the faith in God, the Father, overcomes the world. And we're getting into that with this shield of faith. Our complete dependence on the Holy Spirit controlling our lives helps us conquer the flesh. That's for the Holy Spirit. And then the trust in both the living and written word of God helps defeat the devil. So today we want to look at faith, the broad term for quenching all of the attacks of the enemy. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born or has been born of God overcometh the world. Now, we often think of this as being mighty Christians and doing great works and so on. But notice what he says. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, conquering in your Christian life is very much the same as getting saved in the first place. And that is trusting God to get this work done. Look, as we get together, I think a picture next, is that right? Yeah, look at this, where they these shields have a curled edge on it. On one side is curled back and the other side is curled up. So they can lock into the guy next to them, and it makes a solid wall. And then they actually put it over the heads, and so the darts, the flaming arrows coming down, don't even get them. So this is as we gather together and use the shields of faith. So you remember that the first three pieces of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel, were described as things that the believer already had. We come now to the pieces of armor that we're told to take up. So these are the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the privilege of prayer. I included as one of the parts of the armor. In modern warfare, the radio is part of the armor. And that's fits into that with the prayer. Now the shield that Paul means is this Roman shield, not the small round one of the gladiator. The Roman shield was about 30 inches wide, 4 feet high. The left and right edges were curved so they could link together to form a solid wall barrier. And so even charging enemies could be blocked by that wall and then struck once they stopped. So let us ask, what kind of faith are we talking about? There's different kinds of faith. Well, my first answer is this is not talking about saving faith, although that is certainly related here. Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, within that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So there is a saving faith, but you have that as you begin your Christian life. This says that the believer is to take up this piece of armor, you see. So this is not what we already have, saving faith. This is something we take up. Also, it is not the body of faith, although this is related. The body of faith means the doctrines that we believe, the Bible doctrines. We see this used in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. This isn't that they stop believing or they something else. This is departing from the body of faith, the doctrines, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So this is that kind of faith. Jude 3, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he says, I wanted to write you about one subject, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Here again, the word faith is referring to the body of truth, that which we have been given, things that we are to believe. So we'll study this aspect, contending for the faith, under the symbol of the sword of the Spirit when we get to that. So what does this leave? Well, it is the act of faith. This is the act of believing. This is the act of trusting God. And we need to take that up. This is your humble belief, your submissive trust, your confidence in what God has said. You trusting that he's telling you the truth and that you can believe it. So this is the armor that is a shield. And if we ever needed a shield, it is against the flaming darts of the enemy. Let's then take a moment and define some of the terms. He said, above all, taking the shield. J. Dwight Pentecost wrote, The words above all are sometimes interpreted to mean the piece of armor which is most important. But technically, that is not the apostle's thought. The words might well be translated over all. The Greek here for over is epi, and the general meaning for epi is upon. So upon all. As you saw, the shield was a big one. See, so it's the thing that it covers all of you as you hold up the shield. So it's very important, but that's not what he's saying. It's not most important. What it says is something that covers all of you. Then secondly, let's look at take the shield of faith. So taking up the Roman shield of faith, we consciously take hold on our faith in God and his enabling grace. When we think of God's grace, we often just think of him forgiving our sin, but grace is what he adds to us. Grace is his enabling power. Mercy is when he holds off giving us what we deserve. Grace is when he gives us something we don't deserve, but grace enables us to live the Christian life. So take up the shield of faith. We take hold of our trust in God. The third thing we want to define is wherewith you shall be able. This is literally in the Greek there, in which you will be able. This pictures, the language then says, you are moving within the realm of faith as you would move behind the shield. This will enable you to quench those fiery darts. So what does this mean? It's believing God gives you the power of quenching temptation. Now, if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, when temptation comes, it comes all as a surprise, or we might be halfway into it before we realize, wait a minute, this is a wrong thing. This is a temptation. All right, then, what in the world are quenching all the fiery darts? Well, to quench is to put out. You know, you can quench a thirst, but that's symbolic of the burning thirst that you have. You're putting out that fire. To quench the throne burning missiles, and these are our temptations. This is what, if we saw it from the devil's point of view, he's throwing this to us to hurt us, to damage us, to burn us, to make us less than effective. We tend to look at temptations as, I don't know, maybe I probably shouldn't do it, you know, and we make kind of fun of it. But this is actually something very dangerous for us if we only saw it from God's point of view. So temptations are things we ought to avoid. I remember somebody talking about, well, ever so often I just want to reward myself by going back and taking some drugs and so on. I said, reward yourself? This is like saying, to reward myself, I'm going to smash my finger with a hammer. I'm going to cut my thumb off just as a reward, you know. This is stupid. This is hurting yourself with things that you've become convinced are fun. This is just wrong. And then he says, last, he describes these darts as of the wicked. And this of, this genitive, this possession thing, refers to then the source of the attack. It comes from the wicked one. And the character of the attack. This is bad for us. This is why sin is sin, because God said, don't do it. It's bad for you. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your family. It'll hurt your society. It'll hurt everything. It's just wrong. So with this in mind, we want to actually get into now the concept of belief. The concept of belief. There is an ongoing believing that happens in the Christian life. The apostle actually warns us of this in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. The Greek language here is, this is the perfect tense. It means something that happened in the past and the consequences continue to today. You took a stand and you are standing, you see. But then he says, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast in memory, what, or by what speech, I preached unto you. And then he says, unless you have believed in vain. Now, this believed is the aorist tense, and this means one-time event of the past. Perfect is something that happened one time in the past, but it has the continuing effects. But he says there is such a thing as a belief that was only a one-time thing of the past. This is where we kind of worked up a belief, where emotionally we were ready to receive this belief. And but it wasn't based on a true heart trust. It was just an emotional response. And he says that's believing in vain. In vain means in emptiness, without purpose. So he says that true salvation begins believing and continues on. That's characteristic of the true faith. If you lose that, you didn't have it in the first place. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, we read, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now we're looking at the statement here about the faith that we have in the battle. And this is trusting that God is in control, that God has given us the job to do, And by trusting in him, by believing in him, always causeth us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So he says the gospel is being spread because you are triumphant, and your triumph is your faith. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, your proper order in your church, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Steadfastness here pictures the ongoing faith in Christ, not a, you know, just an impulse. As ye have therefore received Christ, the Lord, Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He says, you live the Christian life in the same way you received Christ in the first place. That is recognizing that the power is not in you. You're trusting him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And you do that in your facing of the temptation. And then again, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You say, well, I don't know, I'm not overcoming. But he says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And this is that ongoing battle. This is taking up the shield of faith. All right, let us look then at the fourth last point, and that is the implication of faith conquering temptations. What does it mean? Are these just lofty words and flowery thoughts, or is this something we can take into battle? Is this something we can use? All right, recognize then that the fiery darts are temptations, but this word is also used of trials, the testings of this life, the hard times that we're familiar with. James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, meaning all kinds of, temptations. And the King James margin here adds, or trials. They want us to know that it's not just the temptation to sin. It is when you get into a trial of life, some problem of life, that can become a temptation. The devil wants it to be a temptation for you to sin, for you to distrust God. But the trial, Job's trials, was a testing, was actually a temptation from Satan. So when you fall into these problems, trials, recognize this is an opportunity for you to become victorious by believing that God is taking care of things, that God has the power to do that. And then he says, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. It results in patience, actually endurance, where you hang on under the problems. But cooperate with this work. Let patience, let endurance have her perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect, complete, and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. So it is in the practice, as we face the trials, as we face the temptations, that we gain the victory, we fight it properly. And when we do this, we learn that. There are problems that I had in my first years of being a Christian that haven't bothered me in years and years and years, because I dealt with those, gained, I don't know, the sense of how to deal with them, and conquered it. Now, I have other problems that I have to face and fight just like everybody else. Now, the fiery darts are the temptations or the trials, the things that are trying to bring you down, to defeat you. And his comment here is that this shield of faith can quench temptations, can put out that gnawing fire. Faith can quench temptations. So here's the fact that God has told us. This is why he wants us to take up the shield of faith. And then thirdly, this means that there's a therefore here. All temptations are attacks on faith. If you can hold on to the faith, you defeat the temptation. The temptation is an urging for you to doubt. So, when you recognize, and that's part of the problem, when you recognize you're being tempted, think of the Bible passage that deals with such things. Now, when you're first saved, you don't have a backlog of those passages, you see. So get them. Find out. The James chapter 1, talking about dealing with trials and temptations. Hebrews chapter 12, talking about being chastised for our sins. These are things that you just find out, and then you long for those passages to give you back the strength. But like I say, when you recognize you're being tempted, and this is the key. I've mentioned before that in the great book, Pilgrim's Progress, Christian or one of the men starts hearing this voice urging him to do something wrong. And it was so quiet and so inner voice that he thought it was himself coming up with this idea. But he did not recognize it was the devil himself hiding in the darkness of being invisible and speaking to him, urging him to do the wrong thing. If you can recognize it, if you can turn the flashlight of truth on that devil and say, I know it's you, then he flees. You resist the devil, he flees from you. You recognize the devil, he flees from you. That's when the devil left Jesus, when Jesus then announced, when he said, bow down and worship me, he says, get away from me, the devil, leave me. Recognize the devil, and he left. So, raise the shield of faith to quench the temptation. This will be how you pick up that shield. In other words, it's not just believe, believe, believe. It's believing something. It's believing a passage of truth that God gave you in the Word of God. You pick up that shield of faith. Let me close then with just several examples. What if you're tempted to steal? Walking through a store, and you think, that would be great to have. I don't have that money with me, and so on. And you say, oh my goodness, I would never do that. I've had, dare I say, prominent people of the church in years past come to me and say, I'm so ashamed that I just saw this thing and decided I'd just pick it up, wheel it on out like I had paid for it. I got caught. And I'm so ashamed. Sometimes this is a great temptation. I can just pick this up and then looking all around and end up in my pocket or someplace. Well, remember Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, why would we steal? Because we don't think we're getting everything that's due us. We don't think he's supplying all our needs. Pick up this shield of faith. He will supply all your need. You can trust him in that. Are you tempted to feel abandoned, left alone, forsaken? Hebrews 13:5, the second part says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You recognize that people sometimes will not have true Christian love and will think of themselves more than they think of you, even when it seems like they should owe you a loving care. And they might abandon you, might forsake you. But God never will. You can pick up this shield of faith. What if you're tempted to lie? Sometimes it's just easier than facing the truth. Sometimes easier than owning up to the truth. No, that wasn't me. Just lying. Notice what he says about this. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, Colossians 3:9. That's the old way of doing it. That's what you did when you were a rotting corpse given to sin. Now you're a new man. You're a resurrected being. Don't do that anymore. Think of it as a false concept. And then James says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not, notice this, against the truth. The Puritans took this and said, this is what lying is. Lying is a sin against truth. You just make up your own version of reality. Just live that way. See? Pretend you can fly across the streets, get hit by a truck, you know. It's just not truth. So we're going to maintain the truth. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to own up to the truth. God seems to have given you a task and you just don't think you're ready for it. You feel inadequate for the task. There's a shield of faith you can pick up. I can do several things. A thing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Greek language here is the Christ the strengthening one. See? This isn't about you having the power. This is about you connecting to Christ who has the power. Philippians 4:13. Paul, who said, there is no good in me, that is in my flesh, said, I can do all things. This is properly understanding where the strength comes from, see. Not from self, not because I'm so wonderful, but because I'm connected to Christ. And then, this day and age, the temptation to immorality of whatever level. But the scripture tells us, flee fornication. Run away from it. Do whatever you can to get away from that. Flee. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. You're hurting somebody. You're stealing something. This is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He says, you don't understand how foolish you are to give in to this when it's damaging your own body. God made our body. He knows what it can do, what it is able to do, what it can sustain. And he said, fornication is not one of them. You're sinning against your own body. And then he asks, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? What if we came in and somebody was writing on our walls here? So what are you doing? This isn't just a building. This is the house of God. This is a place where people meet to worship. Why are you desecrating this? And God says that when we go into immorality. He says it's immorality if it's in your mind. It's immorality if it's in your deed. It's immorality if it's in your habits. So just don't do it. your body is a temple of God. Don't desecrate that. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 and 19. And of course, there are many other areas, but leave that to you to discover, find out, work with. Be able to reach into that bag of the Bible, pull out that particular shield of faith that lets you trust in what God has said, what God has promised, and defeat that fiery dart. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you then with the realization that while this is a tough life and the devil doing everything he can to make it tougher, you have given us whatever it takes to defeat. Temptation, there is no temptation that will automatically defeat us. You have made us capable of dealing with it. While the devil certainly is capable of tempting us in a way that we couldn't resist, you don't let him tempt us that way. You put shackles on him, limitations on him. And so only the temptations that we can overcome are the ones you allow him to do to us. Father, you've given us in the Word the truths that help us to battle each and every fiery dart. Father, if we analyze which darts we're missing, which darts we may have kindled ourselves and encouraged the taking in, we need to search your Word. We need to add virtue, and to do that, add knowledge. Help us then to learn the Word of God that we might not sin against thee. Hide that Word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. To take up that shield of faith, believing that you are true, powerful, loving, and giving us the power that we can do all things through Christ. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, I have not really taken up the Bible as the articles of faith that protect me against temptation. I haven't worked that in my thinking. Now, as I face trials and temptations and where I have failed, it's my goal then tonight to find those passages of Scripture that deal with that issue, and to take it up, make it a memorable shield of faith. God helping me, that's what I plan to do. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. This is where I need to be. This is how I need to deal with the temptations and trials of my life. Pray for me. Father, then we turn to thee and ask that you would give us that saving grace that takes our life and shows us the power we have by trusting in you, the overcoming of the world by our faith. We pray thy blessing then in Jesus' name. Amen.